Sentire Media.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of New Life in Italy. I'm Samantha Wilson, your host, and today I'm quite excited because we are going on a journey, one that's quite close to my heart. We're traveling to the beautiful and iconic city of Venice, but not the Venice that you see in glossy travel magazines or on Instagram. Today, we're going behind the scenes to uncover what life is really like for those lucky enough to call this city their home. Now, I'm really excited because joining me today is a friend of mine, a Venetian local, and a famous tour guide, Monica Cesarato. And some of you might already know her from her Instagram or her books, or maybe you've listened to her podcast here on Sentire Media. It's called Venice Talks. Now, Monica's here to share all of her insider details, from the best quiet neighborhoods to the true costs of living in a floating city. Now, Venice, as we all know, has these iconic canals, lots of history, and of course, the Carnevale. And often all of these interesting things can feel like it's in a world on its own, and it kind of is in some ways. But beyond this Instagram perfect place, there really is a vibrant community living a rich and fulfilling life in Venice. Now we're going to dive into everything from daily routines on how to shop, how to eat, how to play like a local, but we're going to stay clear of all the tourist traps. Now, this is your golden ticket to discover the lesser-known facets of Venetian life and how you might be able to make this city your new home. So, whether you're dreaming of Venice as your next home or simply curious about the reality behind its fairy tale facade, you are in the right place. I'm Samantha Wilson, Chief Dreammaker at SmartMoveItaly.com, and this is A New Life in Italy, a show where each week I take you behind the scenes of what it's really like to move to Italy, introduce you to some fascinating people, answer your questions, and show you how starting a new life in Bel Paese is possible for you. I remember the first time that I went to Venice. It was when I first came to Italy. And that was, oh my goodness, almost over 20 years ago. It was just myself and my mom, and we ended up north, as some of you know the story, got in a car and took off over to Venice. And what we thought of Venice was probably what a lot of people did back then before they could Google their walking path. We, you know, thought of Venice as an iconic city, and it was very mysterious. And actually, I think in our minds, a little bit spooky. We weren't quite sure what to expect. Anyway, we get there, we drive, we park across the lagoon, really, and walk into the city, pulling our bags over the multiple bridges. It was super hot. It was the summertime. And luckily, you know, we were 20 plus years younger, so it wasn't so hard. But we ended up in a hotel, and I honestly can't remember where that hotel was, but I think it was right down in the heart of everything. But back then, 20 odd years ago, Venice was different than it is now. It was, of course, there were tourists everywhere, but compared to what Venice is like now, it was a little bit slower, a little more, maybe a little more authentic might be the word to use, or maybe just less brand named stores and restaurants and coffee shops and those, you know, like brand name things. It was really very Venetian. And it was beautiful. Our hotel room, I remember, had this thick wallpaper, like velvety wallpaper, dark green, and the quilts and blankets, even though it was very, very hot and no air conditioning, were also matching. And it was very, you know, very opulent inside this hotel. It was super small, so we had to climb up the stairs again with lugging our big suitcases back then. But overall, I remember we really felt that this was a place unlike any other place that we had been. And we only spent two nights in Venice, so it consisted really of just wandering lost, really, around the city through the lots of different little alleyways and canals and over bridges. We spent a lot of time in cafes and restaurants, as you know, you do. And of course, up in St. Mark's Square, which was, again, iconic. And in those days, there, you know, weren't so many, well, there certainly wasn't Instagram, so there weren't pictures taking, people taking pictures all over the place and posing and, you know, doing things that can get in the way of what you're really looking at. You know, I think what we had back then were disposable cameras that we would take in and drop them off at the drugstore photo shop when we returned from our trip. But Venice, you know, we ate in Venice as well. So Venice, I don't have a lot of memories of Venice as far as what we ate and what it was, you know, really like, other than really amazing and beautiful and hard to, as I am even now, kind of hard to describe the first time that you go. I did leave thinking that absolutely everyone needs to see this city just because it is so unusual and so iconic and so breathtakingly beautiful. So that was the first time I went to Venice. And then when we returned to Italy later that year, because as some of you know, I didn't stop coming back to Italy after that very first trip all those years ago, we ended up going back to Venice. But this time we went back in the wintertime. We actually went back in December. And this was way back. Come back here with me, guys, back to 2005. And it was in December, just after Christmas. And we went to Venice. And at that time, my youngest son was only, I guess, maybe about 8 years old, 8 or 9. I don't know. I can't do the math. And we went into Venice. We drove there from Siena and we got a hotel. And when we arrived in Venice, it was winter, right? So it was kind of cloudy and foggy and rainy. And when we arrived there, we saw all of these like tables. They were like market tables set up in the big St. Mark's Square and all along the main streets, just sort of lined up. There was nothing on these tables at all. They were just these blank tables. And we thought, oh, darn, you know, we missed some kind of a market or festival of some sort. But no, never mind. So we went into the hotel, checked in. Again, the same kind of experience. Very small. So my husband, who's a big guy, was, you know, not all that comfortable in Venice because it felt a bit crowded. But the room, again, was opulent and deep, rich colors and brass or gold, you know, ornate decorations. It was quite beautiful. And I was happy to be there because it was Venice. Again, it looked amazing, even in the winter. Hardly any tourists at all because, again, it was winter, but also 2005. So we didn't have the mass amounts of tourists that we do now in Venice. And that night we went out to a little bar, like a little bar. And we had some focaccia and some antipasti and some drinks. And we were watching the TV. And on the TV that night was when the tsunami hit, the tsunami in 2005, as all of you, I'm sure, can remember. And I remember watching it on this little tiny TV that was stuck up in the corner of this very packed bar and thinking, oh my goodness, it's just awful and horrific. And we were a bit glued to it, even though we were there on vacation. It impacted all of us because we didn't quite understand what was happening or what the really problem or what the outcome was going to be of this horrific natural disaster. So that night we went back to the hotel room, slept, woke up, and I woke up to my husband saying, pack the stuff, pack everything. We've got to get out of here. It's flooding. Venice is flooding. And the first thing I thought of was the tsunami. Oh my God, it's come over to Venice, or what are we going to do? And we went down, quickly packed up. All of us went down into the lobby and there was water coming into the lobby. And we thought, oh my God. So we quickly get out. And remember, my youngest boy was young. He was only 8, so he wasn't really all that tall at that point. So we get out into this street and the water's increasingly getting deeper and deeper. And it's, you know, at least at our shins, if not coming up to our knees. For my youngest guy, it was like up to his thighs. It was getting really deep. So we're trudging along the water trying to think, how do we get out of here quickly? You know, we're panicking because of the connection to what we saw the night before, to this rising water in Venice. And also, you know, back then we didn't Google everything. So we didn't have the information that we do now so easily. We couldn't quickly go, oh, what's going on? And nobody was speaking English, so we couldn't ask. We just pretty much freaked out and wanted to go. So we were trying to get through pushing through this deep water in these streets. My husband had our suitcases on, one on each shoulder, and my youngest boy absolutely loved it. He was just jumping everywhere, getting soaking wet. And then we walked past this guy, this old Venetian man who was kind of hiding in a corner. It was really weird, actually. But he was selling these boots, these plastic boots that you tied up all the way up your leg. The bottom was very thick, like a very thick sole. And then there was almost like a big, very heavy plastic garbage bag that came around that sole. And you use these big, long laces and tied them all the way up your leg, you know, like a zigzag all the way up your leg to keep them on. So we bought a bunch of those because we all needed a pair. I think back then it was like 20 euros each. So it was super even expensive then. And I remember thinking, oh, this guy's got a good kick. And I didn't know why he was there. I mean, did he know the tsunami was coming? It didn't make any sense. So we all strap these things on and we start moving through the water. And then I notice people are walking above us. And I realize they're walking on all those tables that we saw set up the night before. And that Venice was actually used to this, or that it wasn't the tsunami. It was actually what I know now to be just rising waters, which happen every few years in Venice. And they actually nowadays they have a barricade that can stop this high water from rising into the city. But back then it was really a complete mystery. So we jump up onto these tables and find our way back to our car and take off. And it was a memory that, you know, we had planned to stay in Venice even longer than we did, but we didn't, because we really didn't know what was happening. And when I look back on it, it really was an incredible experience. My family, my kids still talk about it. And it is the memory that they have kind of burnt into their head about Venice being very, very small, being very, very cold. And of course, full of water, very wet. And of course, this isn't like what Venice is like now. They have, like I said, they have things that can prevent this water from rising like it does now. But we did keep those boots actually for a long time, for many, many, many years. I think eventually we ended up selling them in a garage sale or something. We don't have them anymore. I'm sure there's places in Venice that you can still buy these, because there is still problems with water, because the city, as you know, is built on water. And I haven't really been back to Venice much since, and I know a lot of people who are madly in love with this city, and rightfully so. I know that this city is going through a lot of struggles with over-tourism and infrastructure, trying to find a balance between the people who want to and really should see Venice because it is iconic and it'll change you. Compared to the people who want to actually live there and live a nice life in Venice. So there's this conflict that's constantly going on, and they're trying to find their way. As you may know, there is a fee now for day trippers into Venice that you have to pay to get in, which will contribute towards helping build the infrastructure to handle all of these people that are coming in. So it's, you know, it's a fair tax to put in order to provide the services that people need to enjoy Venice as much as they really should. But times are changing. Compared to what I remember it for the first time I went to Venice to what Venice is like now is really vastly different. But I think that there's a part of Venice that most people don't know about. There's a part of Venice that I think you should know about, because even though we imagine Venice, you know, from what we see on Instagram as these packs of people, you can't even move down the streets, or that woman that's yelling, you know, pickpocket, pickpocket. There's another side to Venice that I want to share with you today. This side of Venice is the side where you will live. And we do have a lot of people asking what it's like to live in Venice. Or maybe they think to themselves, man, and yeah, it's pretty, but I would never live here. And I can tell you that Venice wants you to live there. Venice wants people to start coming back into the city and turning it back to what it was like. It's losing a lot of its residents because of the over-tourism and the high cost of living. And Venice has a lot to offer as a place to live. So today what I've done is I've invited my friend, today's guest, Monica Cesarato. Now, Monica is a Venetian. So she grew up in Venice, although she lives across the lagoon, but she grew up in Venice. She went to school. All of her friends and family are there. And this is a city that is really part of who she is. She is Venice. Venice is Monica. And when you meet her, I know you'll agree because you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, she's also a professional tour guide. So if you are going to Venice, honestly, Monica is the one that you need to contact. And don't worry, I'll have all of her details in the show notes so that you can. But she's not just a tour guide. She is also an author and a famous ambassador to Venice and to the artisans in Venice, trying to keep the artisan life alive in this iconic city. She's also a podcaster. Some of you might have listened to her podcast, Venice Talks, right here on Sentire. If you haven't heard it, you really should, because she interviews local artisans and Venetians and takes you a lot further into the real life of this really magical city than you can even imagine. She's also a writer. She has two books, she has a blog, and she is the guide to the celebrities and the dignitaries that visit Venice. So needless to say, she is the go-to if you want to see Venice or know about Venice. And she's here with us today. Well, Monica, thank you for coming on the show. You and I always have such great conversations. So I'm so happy for my listeners to be able to meet you and hear about your stories. But also today, what I want to really talk to you about is life in Venice, because I know you live up there, right?
Yeah, thanks so much, Samantha, for having me. Well, I live just outside of Venice, but I literally work there all the time. I mean, from Monday to Saturdays, I'm in Venice from morning to evening. And I used to go to school there, and let's say 90% of my friends are from Venice. So I am Venetian. I only sleep in my house. Let's put it this way. Okay.
Right. Well, so Venice is, I think, a city that obviously millions of people dream about going, millions of people arrive. And I think that a lot of people that have a really great experience when they're in Venice, they can visualize themselves living there. I know that we have some of our community who have always dreamed of living in Venice. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, because it's a unique city, not just the way that it's positioned and where it is, but also it has a lot of dynamic, features to it that I thought would be a really good to have you on to help people understand what it's really like to live in Venice. So can you describe, maybe a typical day in Venice, for a Venetian?
Right. Okay. Well, first of all, one thing to remember, in Venice, there are no cars. So remember, if you want to move to Venice, you need to train a little bit before you come, because there's more than 400 bridges and you walk everywhere.
More than 400?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So that's one thing that needs to be kept in mind. Okay. It is not an easy city to live, but it's a city that gives a lot back. So I, the typical, exactly because you don't have a car, you need more or less to go and shop every day, I would say, because there are supermarkets. So people say to me, oh, you don't have supermarkets in Venice. Oh, there's plenty of supermarkets. But of course, they're not your big Walmarts, Trader Joe's and stuff like that, not so big, but much smaller. But of course, because they're small and because you don't have a car and you have to take everything with a little hand trolley, up and down the stairs of the bridges and up and down the stairs of your house, because remember, most of the houses in Venice do not have a lift, okay? So most of Venetians, every morning, you see the old ladies and the old guys and the mums and whatever with this little trolley. Most of them will go to the Rialto Market to buy some fish and the fruits and vegetables, so on. Then you stop in the various, at the bakery, you stop at the butcher, you go to the supermarket for everything else, and then you carty at home. So usually that's what people will do. Then in the morning, it's very, very normal to see everybody stopping in the local patisseries, in the local bars for an espresso and a croissant. That's above all if you're near the area of the university. Okay, also the students, but mainly everybody that goes to work, because, you have to remember, Venice, unfortunately, because of the housing problem, is losing 1,000 inhabitants per year. So yeah, we are less than 49,000 right now. So we need people to come back and live in Venice, of course. All right. But anyway, those that are that don't live in Venice but work in Venice, because there's tons of people like me that obviously work in Venice in the morning, that's the first thing you do on your way to work. You stop at the bar, have a little breakfast, and then you go off and open your shop. Shops in Venice usually open about 10 o'clock, much later than other cities. And they usually, most of them, not all of them, but most of them will be open right until 7 o'clock. Then at lunchtime, you know, you will go for a nice light lunch if you're working. If you stayed at home, obviously you cook your own food or whatever. And then what's great about Venice is the evenings when people, when they finish work, everybody goes out for an aperitif. So you close your shop, you close your office, whatever, and you stop in one of the osterie, one of the bakery, you go for a spritz, you go for a glass of wine, maybe one or two cicchetti, and then you go home for a meal. Mm. And that's generally your life in Venice.
Right. And is there a lot of people that live off of the island, for example?
Oh, yeah.
Come in every day?
Yeah, yeah. Practically, I would say that most of, practically everybody that works in the hotel business, everybody that works in the shops, most of the people live outside of Venice, because it is two reasons. First, it's very expensive to buy a home in Venice, because you can understand, you know, they are historical buildings. So unless you've been very lucky that you come from a family that comes from Venice and then obviously was passed down to you, it's not easy to buy a house in Venice. Rental is becoming possible because of Airbnb, unfortunately. I know that things are, you know, people here and there are trying to change things, but it takes time until the city doesn't give a big shaking to these things. At the moment, it's not happening. So it's near impossible, not for the cost, but so much because the people, the rental property owners, do not rent long-term. They prefer to rent short terms to the tourists, making it impossible for people to be able to live in Venice. So there is a huge demand of people wanting to come and live in Venice, you know, workers themselves, you know, because every time it takes you about an hour to go back home. It's not so much as the distance, because everybody lives quite near, but it's the problem is that you the public system is good, but they're always packed. So just because you go and catch a bus, it doesn't mean you're going to be able to catch it. So sometimes you have to wait two buses. Exactly. So a journey that maybe could take you 15 minutes end up taking you an hour. Or you might get on the bus, but you're like sardines. Because, of course, what's happening is the city hasn't created a system by which there are buses for tourists and buses for locals. So, of course, since Venice now is not anymore from March to September, but it's become a 12-month tourist location, we have tourists all the time, and they use the public system. And because many use stay outside of Venice because it's cheaper for them, so it's you know, like a dog biting his own tail.
Right.
Well, so yeah, go on. Sorry,
that's interesting, because when you're talking about the type of properties that people live in, this is something that interests me, because you know, people who love to look at property, they're online on Immobiliare or Idealista. I'm, you know, dreaming about buying, let's say they could buy a house in Venice. Can you talk a little bit about what those homes are like, or what to avoid? Because I know that, you know, with the water and,
of course,
you know, maybe you could explain a little bit more about what it's to live in a property in Venice.
First of all, pictures, forget them. You need to see the house. Okay, don't ever trust the pictures in Venice. Not because they're not real, but because, of course, it's so easy to Photoshop things nowadays. Venice is a city that suffers. Of course, it's a city built on water, so it suffers from amazing, amazing humidity, green mold, and so on. So the first thing that you need, generally, we tell everybody, you know, when I have friends say to me, oh, I want to move to Venice, whatever, I said, okay, if you ever buy in a property or you move into a rental property, if you're lucky to find one, do not ever go to a ground floor property. Because, yes, it is true that now we have a MOSE system by which the huge acqua alta, if there is any event, can be stopped. But they don't raise it all the time. So if you are in an area that is among the one that goes underwater straight away, like near St. Mark's, for example, do not ever get a ground floor. Because remember, when you go underwater in Venice, it is not the fresh water. It is salt water. Salt water, if you do not clear it straight away, corrodes in an incredible way, because it's all, when it dries up over crystal, crack everything. So, you know, and that's the problem. So that's one thing. Second, you have a big problem, of course, with humidity. So you might go in and they just give it a nice lick of paint. What you don't understand that underneath probably is all black by green mold, by black mold and green mold and so on. And trust me, it's happened with many friends that were in this situation. Another thing is, remember, Venice is built on water. So the buildings move. They have to move, because if they didn't, they'll collapse. So there's a lot of cracks, you know, when you go into these places. Another thing that you need to look at is windows, to make sure that there are brand new windows, because of course the old windows, for as beautiful as they are, and they are beautiful, but they don't keep any heating. So you're, remember that sometimes the ceilings in Venice can be really high. They can be above the average, because of course it depends also on the type of property you buy. I mean, if you're lucky enough to buy a palace, well, it means you got enough money not to worry about these things anyway, because you probably can fix them all. Right. If instead you're looking into buy a normal property, that will be like a small apartment or a nice apartment in a they are condominiums in a way, but not in the sense that you have in the imaginary collective a brand new, you know, because obviously nothing is new in Venice. So there will be apartments that have been built out of the original building that was divided in many floors. They were supposed to be other rooms, and then they've been turned into apartments, okay? So the apartments will be small, but not that big. I mean, not for American standards, okay? They're smaller. But the ceilings are really high. And when it's so high, of course, all your heating goes up, and your cold air comes down. So if you do not have a good system of windows, insulated windows, it can be very expensive. I don't know if you ever tell people during your things, but in Italy, we have the highest utility bills in Europe. So, you know, and I can tell you, because I live outside and I have a big house, and trust me, I have the same problem, so as Venice. So yeah, that's the kind of things that I think you should look at. And then remember, in Italy, well, in Venice in particular, obviously, we sell by the square meter. So you need to, when you go and buy your property, the square meter changes also according to the area. If you're in St. Mark's, it will cost much more than if you are outside of St. Mark's. And also, I will say, I would never buy a house near St. Mark's. You need also to understand which area you want to buy your house or where you want to stay.
Right. And this was my next question. So tell me about the neighborhoods.
Okay. So it all depends what you want to come and do in Venice. I mean, if you're going to buy your property and you're thinking of spending here all in 1 month, please don't. Don't ever do that. Thank you. We don't need that, because we already got the problem with people not living in the city. So please, if you're ever thinking of moving to Venice, please do move into Venice. Okay. So do spend at least 6 months, you know. But I think the best areas will be Castello and Canareggio, because they are the ones that are still nowadays the most residentials. And let's say, apart some areas like Fondamenta degli Ormesini, Misericordia in Canareggio, and Viale Garibaldi in Castello, all of the other areas apart from these two streets are very, very quiet and very, very livable, very safe, because Venice is a very, very, very safe city. Okay, I can walk at 2-3 o'clock in the morning on my own. The only thing I'm worried about, rats, because, you know, they're quite big in Venice. You know, and that's another thing you need to worry if you buy a house in Venice, because eventually you will get rats. It's just fairly normal, but okay. We do have a system, but, you know, everybody usually has cats and stuff like that anyway. I would say Cannaregio and Castello are still some of the most residential, and maybe also the area of Dorso Duro towards where the university is, where Ca' Fossari, towards the what's it called, San Basilio, the area of the cruise ship, is still very, very, very quiet. The other parts, I got to say, you know, the pros and cons. If you stay near Rialto, if you stay near San Marco, if you stay other like San Polo, beautiful areas, but you know, plenty of tourists passing by. Yeah.
Well, and it can really impact, obviously, if you're planning to live there. I know here in Florence, we have quite a serious problem with over-tourism a lot as well in the centro. So if people are moving here to live, you know, the Italian Florentine life, I always recommend don't buy anything. I know you're attracted to that area because that's where you went to, but lifestyle-wise, just a little bit in the residential areas is better.
Yeah, and remember, Venice is only 3 square kilometers, so it doesn't really matter where you buy a home. Within 10 minutes, you are where you want to be anyway, you know. So you don't need to live in the center because, I repeat, 10 minutes walk. We're not talking about an hour walk. 10 minutes walk, you can be in the center. So there's no reason not to go and buy a house in Castello. I mean, to be honest with you, if you want to really get away, you can even buy a house in Murano. You can buy a house in Bellido, on the Giudecca, you know. I think that what people, before buy a home in Venice, I think, first of all, remember, whoever is listening, is just because you came here on holiday and you have this dream of Venice, living in Venice is totally another kettle of fish.
Oh, okay. I'm so glad you said that because I was going to ask you that. What do you think is the biggest misconception that tourists have about Venice, you know, compared to the local?
Okay, well, first of all, the Venetians. Okay, I'm a Venetian, but from the countryside, so I'm so sorry for the Venetians from the city, but that's the way they are. Venetians are very friendly, very nice when you come to Venice. But when you live there, it's another kettle of fish. I repeat, a Venetian will not approach you. It's up to you to approach them. So they can seem very cold, but they're not. It's just the way they are. They have millions of people passing every day, you know. They're not going to be, you know. If you move into the city, you need to make the effort. Simple as that. But once you make the effort, then you'll have them friends forever. Okay, that is the difference mainly that I see from the south when people are, you arrive and they're just so nice to everybody. Okay, well, Venetians are a bit more, you know, they used to be merchants, so they got to be careful in a way, you know, it comes from a DNA of centuries, you know. So they're they don't trust you at the beginning. But once they get to know you, then you can ask them anything, they'll be there. Then the pace, Venice is slow. If somebody says, yeah, I'll come tomorrow, that doesn't necessarily mean it will be tomorrow. Tomorrow is a very bland word.
It's a very loose word in Italy.
I mean, I saw signs, and I have friends that do that as well, that they put a sign on when they get out of a shop, and they write, torno subito. Okay, I come back straight away. But not telling you what time you don't know when the sign was put on. Or out for lunch. How long is your lunch? What time, you know? So that's a bit the attitude in Venice. But eventually they'll get there. Okay. So I think for me, it's very important. If somebody wants to move into Venice before they come and buy a property or anything, come and spend at least 3 to 4 months here. Not on holiday. So don't come say, oh, well, I'll be on holiday. No, you come here and you meet people and you ask people, find out exactly how much it will cost you to run your bills, the tax, the health, you know, what's it like to go to the hospital in Venice? That is not an easy thing to do. You know, I mean, for as much as we have free healthcare in a way, it's not so easy as people, make out sometimes. I know probably it's easier than America, but still not so easy. I don't know. I just think people should do a little bit more research. And 4 months, I think, gives you an idea if it is the city for you or not.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect, a really good piece of advice. Actually, 3 months is the limit that most people can come here without a visa, but it's still enough time to really kind of dig in. And I think it's all in the mindset, right? It's all in the attitude. So if you come here thinking, hey, I'm going to go hang around and go on holiday for 3 months, or look, I'm going there for a reason to feel it out, meet some people, see if it really is my spot. Yeah, you're going to get a different experience.
Yeah, and another thing that I stress out, Venice, it's a city for people that can afford to stay in Venice.
Yes, I want to talk about that. How expensive is it?
It's not cheap. Everything, well, rightly so. If you think everything's got to arrive either carted on trolleys over bridges or taken on boats. So obviously, the cost of transport is much higher than any other part of Italy. Number one. So obviously that has got a big impact on the price of things. There's no denying that. Then obviously there is a big impact on the cost of rental properties, even when it comes down for shops. So of course that has an impact on your price. So just to show you basic difference. The other day I was in Venice and I ran out of bread for my house. I didn't have time because I was working, whatever. I didn't have time to be back in time to my near my home and go to my local store to buy my bread. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just grab here some. It's a special type of bread that I'm using at the moment. And it was double the price of what I pay. And I live literally about 15 minutes away from Venice. Double the price. It wound me up a little bit, but at the same time, I understand why it's like that. So, you know, I just got it and take it. So, it's very, you know, it's expensive there, but not only that, if you come to Venice, do not think about looking for a job. I'm saying this to people because there's thousands of other people that decided to do the same thing. It's not okay. So, and not thinking of, oh, I'll go to Venice, I teach English, because hundred thousands of people thought exactly what you thought. In Italy, in every schools, unless you're a professor, okay, if you're a professor or already a teacher, good, fine. But if you're not and you just speak the language, forget it, because in Italy, to be a teacher, you need a proper degree, you need a proper permissions and so on. So even Italians have a struggle teaching English. They are teacher themselves, okay?
So You know that the new digital nomad visa has just been released. So I know that there is, we have been just overwhelmed with people asking about it. And,
I'm sure. But that's what I'm saying. If you come in over and you do not need to work, let's say you don't need to look for a job in Venice, and you can come and live off your income that you're already getting from your own, Venice is fantastic because, not great internet connection, I'm telling you now. I mean, depends because obviously we have big, thick wood and thick walls. So sometimes you walk into a place and you are in a black hole. So that's another thing you need to check if you buy the property to make sure that your internet connection is very good.
Do you have fiber? Is there fiber in Venice or is it all satellite?
I think it's a mix. A mix of the two, yeah. But it's, the problem is always that have a fiber or a satellite, the problem is that they are the thick walls. And trust me, sometimes even with my normal phone, I walk into a shop and they go like, sorry, we don't have internet. So why not? We can't get it working. We just cannot get it working. They go like, okay.
And that's a serious, nowadays for global, mobile people, a really big downside for sure.
Yeah.
And I imagine, obviously that's just where you can pick where you're living and the type of home that you're in and check that internet speed as well.
Yeah. That's very, I think if you decide, there's so many things that, before leaving, I think, as that's why I say 3 months is a good idea, is think of all the things that you want and check that they are here. And then you have to make compromises. You have to understand that you're picking to live in probably what is, I'm biased, but let's say the most beautiful city in the world. It is a city that is 1600 years old. You're choosing to go and live in an old city. It is not a new city. So don't expect for things to work. Be happy when they do. You know,
you're gonna put that on a t-shirt. That's perfect. That's just everywhere, isn't it?
Don't yeah. It? You know, so it's, I mean, it, as I repeat, you have to compromise. It is, don't have high expectation. Be happy when things happen, because when they happen, they are wonderful in Venice. I mean, there's things that you can do in Venice that you cannot do in any other way, any other part of the world. You walk everywhere. You don't need a car. So that's already a cost that you're not going to have.
Yeah. Okay? And then the benefits of lifestyle and health. That
and
all
the food and the wine that we have here. I mean, come on, this is our region's got more than 40 native red grapes and more than 40 white native red grapes. That's already 80 type of wines that you need to try when you come to live in Venice, you know. But so,
and the food.
Oh, and the food, we have fresh fish all the time because, you know, this is a city built on water. It's a port, you can imagine. So there are a lot of pros, you know, and the beauty. I mean, you wake up in the morning, no matter what the weather is like in Venice, the beauty is always beautiful. And we have got, the view is always beautiful. And the light in Venice is just so unique of a city. You know, if you like arts, we got at least between museums and art galleries, I think it's about 40 of them. You know, the city has got more than 100 churches. Come on. I mean, I don't, you know, I want people to move into Venice, but I don't want people to move into Venice and then run away because it wasn't their dream, and then going away and say, oh, that's not what I expected. I want people to move to Venice and to stay forever. But there is one downside, and this comes from having seen so many people moving into Venice. Beware, you'll move into Venice. You will say to yourself, oh, from Venice, I can go and visit Vicenza, I can go and visit Padova, I can go and visit Rome or whatever. And then you will never do, because I don't know what is with Venice, but this I've seen with every single foreign friend that moved into the city. You move and then it's like Venice traps you. You just get lazy. And you don't want to move out of Venice.
Because you have, you're living in this environment that is giving back so much. Like you said, the food and the art and the people and the location, you think, why leave?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think that's what it is. So I repeat, people get a bit lazy.
Well, there's worse places to be trapped in. That's for sure.
I know. But you gain a lot of in health because you walk in everywhere. So everybody I know is in such a great shape. Right. I got to say.
Oh, great. Well, listen, Monica, I know that you live there and I know that you're busy and I appreciate so much your time. Before we go, though, I wanted you to take a moment and tell everybody what you do in Venice. Tell us about your book and where they can find them. Everyone who's listening, I will have all of this in the show notes as well that you can go and visit. But it's your turn to Monica. Let them know who you are.
Okay, so, well, first I run food tours in Venice and cooking classes, but mainly food tours in Venice, but you can find more, obviously, on the information that Samantha is going to close later. I have written two books, one exactly about where to eat in Venice with Cicchetti, and another one that just came out that is called Andar per Isole, about going visiting the islands of Venice, and that doesn't mean Murano, Burano, Torcello, but all the others. It will be out in English soon. And then I got my own podcast, of course, Venice Talks, where I talk about Venice 360 degrees, interviewing everybody that lives and works in Venice to show you the real Venice.
Yeah, I love it. It's on Sentieri Media as well. Yeah. It's amazing. If you haven't listened to Monica's podcast, you have to. You have to tune on.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, Monica. Well, again, always so much fun. I always look forward to our chats. Thank you again for coming on and you know, have a great day in Venice. It's going to be sunny today.
Yeah, thank you for having me and thank everybody for listening. Ciao, ciao.
Well, that's all for this week, my friends. I hope that you enjoyed this episode of A New Life in Italy, Behind the Scenes of Venice. And if you want to contact Monica, perhaps you're going to be in Venice and want to book a tour with her, I highly recommend you do it. And I highly recommend you do it in advance because she does get booked up pretty quickly. And you'll know why. So you can find all of her details on our website at sentiremedia.com. Just click on A New Life in Italy. Now, Monica also has a podcast there called Venice Talk, so you can have a listen. And you can find out more about her, read her blog, buy her books, and book a tour, of course, right there on the website. Until next time, my friends, ciao for now. It's time for listener questions. Just like the old radio call-in shows, my team has picked 3 listener questions, all left on our voicemail. I have no idea what these questions are, but I haven't been stumped yet. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Hi, Samantha. This is Ulrich. We have a pair of American friends with international driver's licenses, also living here in Italy. And they think that the international driver's licenses are legal for at least a year after arriving, and don't believe that, as we've informed them, they must at the end of that year obtain an Italian driver's license. Who's right? Thanks, Samantha.
Well, thank you for that question. And it's a great one, and one that often people get a little bit wrong, or it's a little misunderstood. You can drive in Italy with your foreign driver's license with an international driver's permit if you're here as a tourist, which, for those of you who are coming and want to rent a car, make sure you get that international driver's permit because they are checking more often now. But when you move here, you can also use that driver's permit for up to 12 months when you move here. After you move here and after you've become a resident of Italy, after 12 months of residency in Italy, you can no longer drive with your foreign driver's license, your American driver's license in this case, with your international driver's permit. It will no longer be valid. So after 12 months of residency, you must then take an Italian driver's license test, which is all in Italian. And it's a learner's test, so you're like a baby driver again, like a teenager. And then after you pass this test, then you have to go get a learner's permit as a new driver here in Italy. So the international driver's permit is only valid for the first 12 months. And then after that, you are unlicensed unless you get an Italian driver's license. I do highly recommend that people who are in this position not to wait till the 12 months is up, because it can take a long time to prepare and study for this very, very notoriously hard exam. And you don't want to be stuck without a license if you really need one. So start to prepare early. Take the exam when you're, 6 months through your time frame, so that gives yourself some time to catch that license.
Hi, Samantha. This is Lisa. I read a post on Facebook from an expat who said that we aren't eligible for, or we won't be eligible when the time comes, for a long-term visa if we've been out of Italy for a total of 10 months during our first 5 years of residency. Is this accurate? So many people with so many opinions online, and you're the one I trust. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for the question. A good question. Actually, for the elective residency visa, you are permitted to, of course, travel outside of Italy and be in other countries. It's up to you. Now, remember, on the elective residency visa, the permesso di soggiorno that goes with that, you are still restricted to 90 days out of a 180-day period in other Schengen countries. But in Italy, you can, of course, you're living here and you can travel around. Now, if you leave Italy on the elective residency visa, you are not permitted to be out of Italy for more than 6 consecutive months out of a 2-year period. So that's no more than 6 consecutive, so back-to-back consecutive months out of a 2-year period. So if you're not doing that, then you're perfectly fine on your elective residency visa.
Hi, Sam. It's Tony. And I'm wondering if you could explain, after you've purchased a home here and you're only in the 90 in and 90 out, what are the things you need to be aware of that you need to renew with owning a property in Italy? Like, how often do you pay your taxes? Do you have to renew something with the Questura? Anything that you need to know that happens over and over because you own a property here, period. I hope that makes sense. Take care.
Hi, Tony. Yes, there's a couple of things that you need to pay attention to, and it's mostly to do with taxes because it's always to do with taxes in Italy. So as a property owner, you will need to pay attention to two different taxes. One is the IMU, which is your yearly property tax that you'll have to pay. And the other one is TARI, which is your garbage tax. Those are the two main taxes that you'll have to pay every year. You will get notification in the mail from the Agency dell'Entrata, which is the tax office. And the first one, the IMU, can be paid in a couple of different installments. What I do recommend that you do, Tony, is get a commercial ISTA who can take care of all of these filings for you so that you can always be regular and not miss a payment. It's really easy to do if you don't live here full time. Now, if you want some help, let us know, because our commercial ISTA does have a program for people who own properties who are not here to keep up with all of the tax payments. The only other thing that you might want to think about, and I'm not sure if this is applies to you or maybe a listener, if you have a property here in Italy and you are renting it out, the other obligation that you will have every year is to send in your income tax for the earnings that you have made in Italy.
Well, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about visas, citizenship, property, and, well, really anything about moving to Italy that you would like me to answer in an upcoming episode, please feel free to send us a voicemail at our website at smartmoveitaly.com/podcast, or just click on the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. And remember, you can find all of the resources and the links to the people and the places that I mentioned in this episode inside the show notes. Ciao for now. A New Life in Italy podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created and hosted by me, Samantha Wilson. Production by London Nero, and with special thanks to Ali Frothingham, Sofia Pisana, and the entire team at Sentire. Follow A New Life in Italy wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you're thinking of moving to Italy, whether full-time, part-time, or for a lifetime, come and see me over at smartmoveitaly.com and we'll help you get here and start living your best life. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate and leave a review. It's much appreciated. I can't wait to meet up with you again next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.